Welcome to episode 604 of Fly Away. Over the past few years, we've been reminded time and again how much the world relies on travel. From supporting local economies to learning about new cultures, the experience that travel provides helps to make our world smaller and bring us closer together. Here at Outlander Travel, we've been proud to be a small part of bringing that to you through our weekly podcast. My name is Sandy, and this week I am joined by fellow Outlander travel agents, Elizabeth, Lindsay, and Anna. We are also excited to have another Outlander travel advisor on today to talk about a recent travel experience she had. A big welcome to Stacy!
Thank you. Glad to be here again.
So what if you were in the middle of one of the most gorgeous luxury train journeys in the American West? White linen service, gourmet meals, panoramic glass dome cars rolling through red rock country. And then the train hit an oil tanker truck. Who does sound effects? Yeah. That is exactly what happened to our own Stacy Hardy on her educational trip on Canyon Spirit in early May. And honestly, the way this company handled it might be the most interesting part of the story. And she's here to share her experience today. So let's get started. Wow.
I'm glad you're here.
Yeah, really. I knew this was going to be an interesting one to talk about before this even happened, but I'm actually really interested to hear how they handled it. So,
yeah. Because
I hate sensationalism, we just want to say everything has turned out okay. Everyone is okay. This is not like big drama or anything. So
this was also the first time this happened in the history of the company.
Yes.
So it's good to know that they were able to make everything good even without prior experience. So let's start at the very beginning and tell us a little bit about what is Canyon Spirit.
Canyon Spirit is a luxury train ride. There are different itineraries that they do, but the one that we'll focus on, because that's the one we were doing, was from Denver, Colorado, and then you get on the train there, and over the course of 4 days, you end up in Salt Lake City. And throughout the journey, you're, you know, on the train during the day, but you stay in hotels at night. So it's not a sleeper type car journey. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, a sightseeing during the day, you know, on your own in the evenings. And the scenery itself is gorgeous. You know, it's really nice. I mean, it's beautiful. That's why they do it. And train service itself is luxury. I mean, you were pampered, but not stuffy. Like, I'll say the staff on board was very approachable, very friendly. I don't want it to sound like it was like, you know, butlers coming to your seat. These very approachable, very friendly people, that not that butlers aren't friendly, but so luxury, but I'd say understated. Is it casual luxury? Is that a thing?
Like, but understated luxury. Yeah.
Yeah. There you go.
Like country club chic. Maybe. Okay, cool. Yeah. Well, I mean, Elizabeth and I were in Utah last year, and I can attest it is really gorgeous there.
Anywhere else in the world.
Yeah, it's really unique. So I would love to take this train ride. I think that would be an awesome way to go through the national parks without like feeling like you need to go hiking and stuff.
I will say, yeah, if you're trying to, you know, determine if this is the right type of trip for you, I would say, and you know, because you're on the train for many hours during the day, you're not exactly getting out, being active. You know, it's not that type of a vacation. However, you can add that element to it because mm-hmm. there are different itineraries where you can spend some extra time or do extra parks. And then in your free time that you have in the evenings, you can do more active things.
Okay.
It's not so hot.
So yeah. talk a little bit about their different levels of service and tell us what your experience was.
So on the on Canyon Spirit, which is under the same umbrella as the Rocky Mountaineer, mm-hmm. but their trains are a little different. Rocky Mountaineer has those double two-story like rail cars that you may be familiar with. with the Canyon Spirit, they do not have that type of a train. You're in a dome train, though, your seat, a nice luxury seat, lots of room, lots of space. You're in these huge, domed rail cars, so you can see all the scenery. But if you and everybody, whether you're in the Premier service or the Standard service, get that type of a car. We were in the upgraded category, so the Premier, the Premium. You got access to a lounge car. And in the lounge car, it has casual seating, you know, and I say there are different lounge cars. We actually, the one that we had access to, our car, had access to their newest lounge, which was a little more like modern. But we got to tour the other two lounge cars, which were a little more like retro, like vintage looking. The older ones had a little more like club chairs and things like that. Whereas our lounge car had a couple of those, but also had like almost like booth tables, like a sofa around a table, if that makes sense. So they both had their pros. I kind of liked the new one that we had because I really felt like if you were traveling with friends or a group, you could go in there and have drinks together at a seat, but then you could also use that space to play a game or, hang out for a while. Mm-hmm. So we were in the service where it allowed us to have the lounge car. That was one benefit. The other benefit was in the lounge car had a bar, and we had access to premium drinks throughout our journey. Whereas on the standard, in the standard fare, you don't have access, but you can get drinks to your seat. You don't have that extra space to get up, walk around, and mingle with the other guests on board.
Okay. Are the drinks still included in the standard service?
In the standard service, if I'm not mistaken, they're included, like with your lunch, they'll serve you wine or beer. But with the upgrade, you had access to premium liquors. And besides coming to your seat to serve you, like I said, you could go back to the lounge car when it was open and they had a dedicated bartender at a bar to, make you mix cocktails and things.
Okay.
Yeah. The drinks you got at your seat were more like basic drinks, I would say, like your gin and tonic or a vodka, vodka and soda, or just anything that your regular server could just kind of mix, a wine or a champagne or a mimosa or something like that.
Okay, nice. And then I guess if it's not obvious, we're talking about a familiarization trip that you were on so that you could learn about it, so you get to experience it. And so I just wanted to throw that in there. So, let's talk about day one. What happens? You show up. Did you show up in Denver early, or did you get there that day? How did you start your trip?
So I showed up on the day that the official tour started, although some of the other guests did come into Denver a couple days early to enjoy Denver and do some tours there. I came in. My flight arrived late, I will mention, but it arrived, and I was, because I was there for a familiarization trip, there were other travel advisors, and so we were there with employees of Canyon Spirit, and we were able to have a little mix and mingle kind of reception, so I got there in time for that, and then was able to check into my hotel in Denver, which is right next to the train station, which was really nice. But I checked into my hotel, which was part of the package. So that's when the package started.
Okay. So nobody would just show up that day and get on the train. Because I guess they would leave early, right?
Yeah, that the train ride, actually, we spent the night at the hotel in Denver. And then the next morning is when we got on the train. And it was pretty early, like 8:30 in the morning. So I don't think anyone, unless you lived in Denver, would be arriving, that morning.
That makes sense. What kind of hotel did you stay in?
It was, oh shoot, what was the name of this one? Dang it. It was a very nice
familiarization trip, isn't it?
I know. My focus was mostly on the train. Limelight was the name. It was very nice. It was like a 4-star hotel. Very roomy, very comfortable. And like I said, because they try to put you close to the train station, because when you get off the train, no luggage, by the way, they take care of all of your luggage, but you just walk off the train and go to your hotel. If it's close enough, we just walked like across the street or something like that. We were literally like at the train station and in downtown Denver.
Do you know if they had, like, if they were transporting your luggage by bus and not on the train?
That's correct. Yeah, yes. Okay. That's it was not on the train.
Okay. So it's there when you get there. That's really
it was. Nice. Yeah. So it was already in our room. Yeah, it was great. And when you left in the morning, you just left it by the door and they came around and picked them up for you.
Okay. That's super easy.
Very nice.
It was super easy.
Mm-hmm. So, let's talk about day two when everything changed.
Well, I will just say day one was amazing. I'll go back because, we got the full day on the train. Our first stop was at Glenwood Springs. Yeah, Glenwood Springs is known for its hot springs. And between Denver and Glenwood Springs, you go through beautiful first you leave Denver, which was interesting, not the most beautiful part of Denver, but you immediately start climbing and you cross the Continental Divide. And we had snow, so it snowed on us once we got high up in elevation. Ooh. Ooh. And then we just went through a series of tunnels. You go through the most tunnels on this section of the railroad. I think they told us there were over 30 tunnels we went through, which in that distance, it's like the most in the world, I think, that you would go through.
That's part of the reason why it's not a double-decker train, right?
Yes. Yeah. Those those tunnels were pretty narrow. So got to Glenwood Springs after a lovely breakfast on board, lunch on board. Then you'd have dinner out in the town that you stop because you're not on the train at night. Mm-hmm. And Glenwood Springs was an adorable little like town. I mean, it was amazing. We walked across the street from the train depot and one of the hot springs pools and thing complex is just right there. So you can easily walk to restaurants. And like I said, we spent some time at the hot springs and that was nice. Hot springs aren't included, nor is dinner. It's all on your own. So some of us went to that hot spring. Other people went to, there was a hot spring a little further away. And but then we spent the night at our hotel right there near the station again. And again, very nice 4-star hotel, and it was very comfortable. Then the next morning, about 9 a.m., we got back on the train.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how long were you on the train that first day if you had breakfast and lunch? So was it like 8 hours or?
Yeah, you were there. Just about 8 hours.
Okay. Yeah. So you would want to get up and walk around, I think.
I definitely would suggest doing this trip, but to make sure you upgrade. So you have that walking around space, extra space to go outside in between the trains to view outside, things like that.
Yeah. All right.
We got on the train in Glenwood Springs, and we were setting off for our second day. We were in the middle of our breakfast service, which I just would like to say one little thing about that. They source their pastries locally in Colorado, and they were amazing. I will just say that. They were nice to die for, and the desserts. We were right in the middle of breakfast service, had a cup of coffee. Some people were having their mimosas. And I've traveled on some trains in Alaska, Europe, and so when the first thing that happened was we're just sitting there, and like, I'm going to give my example as I had my cup of coffee, like holding it, and there we felt a big jolt, like a break, like, and our coffee kind of, it was low enough in my mug, it didn't spill over, but I was like, ooh, I better hold on to this. Didn't think anything of it because, you know, in trains, you sometimes have to stop to let other train, you know, to pull over or whatever, let another train stop. Then shortly after, we felt another little surge. We're like, oh, that's weird. And then we came to a stop. It was like, weird, you know? And the staff were just so calm that, again, like, we are all like, didn't even register like this was unusual. So and they really weren't letting on.
When you felt that jolt, was that them like trying to break? And so when they hit it, it wasn't that hard? Is that what happened? Or
that's exactly what happened. Yeah. Right. Sandy, you're so good at this.
Filling it out for everybody. Okay.
So we did find out later that those first two like jolts were the engineer putting the brakes on to try to slow down. And we're talking, this train does not go very fast. We were at top speed. You go around 35, 40 miles an hour on this train. Yeah. So we were not flying by any means. But he did brake twice when he saw the tanker that was parked across the tracks to try to, you know, lessen the blow to make it a little more safe. Our group was in the very last passenger car. We were the second to last car on the train. And so, honestly, like I said, I didn't even know we had hit anything. We knew we were stopped. The staff was like, we're stopped. We're not sure why we're stopped yet, but as soon as we know, we'll let you know. And they all have little walkie-talkies, earbuds in their ears. So, you know, they're all communicating back and forth. And so just like a few minutes later, our hostess in our carriage was like, so it does appear as if we've hit a truck. I think they said hit something. Yeah. But we're all like looking out of the side of the windows and we're like, oh, why'd we stop? We saw like smoke. And I at first just assumed, oh, there's a brush fire on the side of the road. And so we can't keep going because it would be dangerous if we keep passing this fire. But come to find out that was the smoke coming from the truck that we had hit. No flames, just a lot of really dark gray smoke. So never any fire or flames, anything.
Yeah, so everybody was okay.
Everybody was fine. I mean, that was the first thing they did was check on everybody. Is everybody okay? Came through the car. Is everyone all right? Any issues? And so our staff, they were like, well, we're not sure how long we'll be here. So let's just go ahead and keep serving you guys some breakfast. they just kept on doing what they were supposed to do until they were told otherwise. But it was fun. They all put on like their little vest. Yeah. The next few minutes, they all had on vests. And, you know, they were following their procedures exactly how they were taught.
And it sounds like they did a good job keeping everybody calm and just making it like not crazy. Like, we have this under control. You don't need to worry kind of thing.
And I have to say, you know, from our perspective being, you know, not as close, we were not in any car that actually, you know, we were a little further removed from the actual, our car didn't derail. And when I say derail, they did slip off the track, but no car was overturned, anything like that, or you know, it was still on the track. You couldn't tell unless you knew we were derailed that we were derailed. But they were very calm. I would say within not even 5 minutes, there were fire trucks and police on the scene from the nearby town, and they even came through the cars checking on everyone, making sure everyone was all right. No issues.
So, how long did it take for you guys to get moving again?
Okay. Mm-hmm. So within an hour, we timed it, you know, because we're all travel advisors going, how will they handle this? In less than an hour and 45 minutes, coaches were pulled up. The road was closed, mind you. Like, there was no traffic, but these coaches are pulling up to the road less than 2 hours. Now, it did take a while for the fire department to assess where people could get off the train and how the safest route to get us off the train. Mm-hmm. So you had people from the very forward cars coming towards the back of the train to get off. And then us, we were the last train to get off, last car to get off. We had to walk up about three cars. So we went through three different cars to then get off the train.
Okay.
So they had us off. Those first people were off probably within about 2.5 hours. I think it was probably more about 3.5 hours before they got the last of us off the train.
Okay.
So onto the bus. And then our destination that day was Moab. And before we got to Moab, we were to deboard the train, get on tour buses to take us to Canyonlands National Park. So basically what happened is we got on buses instead, and then we were bused to the location where the tour met us. So they just pivoted. I will say it took a little longer. Well, I say it took a little longer. Well, it did. We did have to make stops about every hour or so, just like you do on a normal tour bus tour. They stop often for people to get off, stretch their legs, go to the restroom. So we had to do that. And we ended up at a truck stop. So I teased Elizabeth and sent her a picture of my truck stop. I said, well, we went from luxury train to truck stop really quick.
It was like a very nice truck stop, though.
It was. It was a nice truck stop. And like I said, people were very go with the flow. I mean, nobody was upset. It's like, you know, we were actually quite impressed with the communication. We were impressed with how quickly they got us off the train into a bus. I mean, was the bus as luxury as the train? No. But, you know, I feel like they did everything they could for us. Just as if you were, I would compare it to low water situations on the river when they have to put you on a coach to get you to the next location. So, yeah.
So what did Canyon Spirit do in any regard to, like, refunds for clients or any kind of compensation? Was there anything like that? Discount on your next trip?
Our fare that we paid was, we were told that it would be reimbursed, and it was. I think they did that pretty quickly.
It was very quick, yeah.
Yeah, so the whole trip was reimbursed for us. As far as clients who were not travel advisors, I do believe from the communication we were given is that refunds were given and future discounts were given for clients to come back and do the trip again.
Try it again.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good to know.
That is, yeah.
You may have said this, but did you actually get to go to Canyonlands?
Oh, we did. And I will say the tour company that they worked with was also fabulous. They, you know, knew we were going to be late. Some of the buses arrived before because, you know, it took a while to get everybody off the train. So they were so accommodating. It was so, our group was the last one to get there. The driver of our tour bus was the owner of the company. He's like, I haven't driven these in a while. He goes, but I was recruited because I have the proper license to drive these types of buses. He goes, but you know, we knew that you guys were getting here late, and basically, like, you know, we work with Canyon Spirit. We know that they provide a good experience. We want to make sure we provide a good experience. They brought us food. They brought us drinks. I mean, when we got on the tour part of the bus, they were handing out food, sodas, waters. You know, they're just like, whatever we can do for you guys, just let us know. Like, we're here to, you know, still show y'all a good time. And the tour was amazing. And Canyonlands, if you've never been, I would say it rivals the Grand Canyon, really, if you've seen the Grand Canyon. It was amazingly beautiful. And then they got us to our hotel. Everything, you know, again, worked out like clockwork. Next morning, we were taken to tour buses. And again, they fed us. I couldn't even imagine what was going on behind the scenes, because when we pulled up to get our tour bus, you know, our tour bus pulled up to meet up with the land, the people who are work for Canyon Spirit in Moab, with trucks full of like catered food, coolers of water, you know, coolers yeah. full of drinks and things. You know, somebody worked all night to have yeah. to get all that organized. Mm-hmm. And whoever their suppliers are worked all night, I'm sure, to yeah. get that all ready.
Mm-hmm. So where did you spend the night that night? But not, I mean, did you stay in Moab?
Okay. I say the only thing altered once, you know, we had the accident was basically the train part. I mean, our hotels were still our hotels. Our tours still went off. You know, it was just the fact that we weren't on a luxury train. We yeah. weren't having our cocktails, unfortunately. we weren't having our desserts that were so wonderful, but they did treat us very well. We stayed at, we went all the way to our final destination, Salt Lake City, mm-hmm. and had a wonderful stay there. In fact, the company ended up treating everyone to dinner that night. It wasn't something that was included, mm-hmm. but again, somebody working behind the scenes in Salt Lake City had, at the hotel, at the Grand America Hotel, there was a whole ballroom set up for us for dinner. I had nice. All, you know, picture like a, almost like a wedding banquet. Reception. They yeah. had a plated dinner, cocktail. Oh, wow. They had some bars. So, you know, you had a couple of tickets for drinks. And so they really, I feel like they really went out of their way to try to make the best of the circumstances.
Yeah.
So in normal times, does the train go all the way to Salt Lake City, or is that a?
That is one of the options. There are some, some of the itineraries, you would end in Moab, mm-hmm. but, there is an itinerary that will take you all the way to Salt Lake City.
On the train?
Yeah, I think that's yes. new. I think I heard it's new.
Okay.
Yes.
So.
Yep. That was new. Sorry. In 2026, that was new.
Okay.
So what's your honest verdict? Would you recommend this for clients?
Yes, honestly, I would. I mean, I felt, now, granted, I was only on the train one and day and a morning, but yeah. it was very lovely. The commentary, the stories, I would have loved to have been able to do, the full yeah. trip on the train, of course. They did on the buses have the host come along with us so that they could still narrate for us. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it just wasn't quite the same. Yeah. But the company itself, I felt like they stood, you know, they stood behind making sure everybody was safe, making sure we were accommodated if we needed anything. I was amazed at what they did for us in that short of a time. And the train was back running. I think they only had to skip one trip before they had everything repaired, the tracks repaired, the train repaired, and then back to the trips.
I think that's a testament to the company, really. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry that happened, that yeah, you didn't get the actual yeah. experience, but it makes me feel better recommending them, knowing that that's how they would handle something like that. Yeah. So it is a good,
absolutely. I agree.
I do too. And I just, you know, it just makes you, you know, realize that, no matter how much you plan, a company plans, mm-hmm. things can go wrong. And mm-hmm. you could tell that they had procedures in place for everything. Because like mm-hmm. I said, the employees were calm, And even though we knew that some of the employees were sort of new, they were just so good. I will just say they kept us happy. They kept us calm. And, you know,
nice.
I would recommend it. Yes. Perfect. Two thumbs up.
All right. Awesome. Okay. Well, that is our show for this week. Thanks for hanging out with us. Please like our Facebook page, rate us, and be sure to tell your friends about us. You can find our previous episodes on the podcast page of OutlanderTravel.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. We would love to hear from you. Thank you, Stacy, for coming in and telling us about your experience.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Good to be here again.
So on behalf of Elizabeth, Lindsay, Anna, and myself, Sandy, thanks for joining us this week. Gotta fly.